France was represented at the Congress by Talleyrand, a diplomat who had served the revolutionary regime between 1789 and 1799, who had served under Napoleon, and now wound up serving a new master, and that was the new restored Bourbon monarchy of France. Napoleon despised him, referred to Talleyrand as Maird in a silk stocking, because of his ability to change color depending on what regime was in power. He was an extraordinarily skillful, if not terribly principled, diplomat, and was able to exert disproportionate influence at the Congress of Vienna. It was Talleyrand's skill that allowed France, instead of being treated as a vanquished nation, as a renegade state, it would be Talleyrand who would really represent the ethos of restored monarchy in France, the Bourbon monarchy, and he would use his considerable skills to gain for France a very lenient settlement. But by far and away, the dominant political role at the Congress of Vienna was played by its host, and that would be by Clemens von Metternich of Austria. He had been chief minister, foreign minister, basically, of the Austrian regime since 1809. He had played, as we've seen, a considerable role in Austria's dealings with Napoleon down to the defeat of the emperor. Metternich came to the Congress of Vienna determined to restore legitimate monarchy. For him, territorial settlements were important. The geopolitical aspects of the settlement were going to be of obvious significance. But Clemens von Metternich came to the Congress of Vienna, and what made him the leading figure of the Congress of Vienna was his determination to restore the old order, to restore the principle of legitimate monarchy. Legitimacy would become the watchword of the Congress of Vienna, indeed become the watchword of the entire Age of Restoration. The revolutionary regimes of 1789 to 1799 had clearly been illegitimate, had been what they said. They were revolutionaries. The Napoleonic regime, despite the embarrassing marriage of a Habsburg princess to Napoleon, had been an illegitimate regime as well. Now the time had come to restore the old principles of monarchy, to restore legitimacy, to see divine right. He was careful about this. One didn't want to talk about divine right too openly in this period after the revolution and after the Napoleonic era, but this is really what he had in mind: restore legitimacy, restore divine right monarchy. In addition to divine right monarchy, the powers of restoration also wanted to see a revival of the aristocracy to positions of power and influence, to see the position of the church restored. The church had already rebounded in France, as we've seen with the Napoleonic era. But aristocracy, army, church, these were all of the pillars of the old regime, and they would be the pillars of the restored regimes of Europe after the Napoleonic era. And in addition, and most important as well to Metternich, was the idea that not only did one wish to restore monarchy domestically, but to find some sort of international mechanism so that the victorious powers could act in concert to prevent the revival of any sort of French aggression, revolutionary ideas, and so on. Metternich would call for a concert of Europe, an alliance of conservative powers that would be constantly vigilant for any sort of revival of French ambitions or French radicalism. He found an enthusiastic supporter for these ideas in Alexander of Russia, but also with the British, who, while less concerned about this issue of legitimacy, were very concerned, as we've seen, about the geopolitical problems posed by an aggressive French regime. Internationally, of course, the Congress then sought to restore a balance of power, and the central international problem was, how does one restrain the most powerful of all the European states, and that was France? What sort of peace settlement could be created that would allow peace a chance after almost 20 years of constant warfare? The French Empire was dismantled, but the negotiators at Vienna would treat France with great leniency. France was left with generous frontiers. One of the guiding principles was to punish an old Napoleonic and revolutionary tradition in France, but not to punish the restored French monarchy. If this Bourbon monarchy was going to have a chance at survival and to really gain support within France, then it was going to have some sort of generous settlement coming out of the Congress of Vienna to be treated with respect, and not as a renegade state.